This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Red or Dead, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the world of mysteries and thrillers. This is episode 174, and we are recording on Monday, April 1st. I'm Katie McLean Horner, along with Kendra Winchester, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Hi, Kendra. Happy April Fool's Day.
Oh, this day is exhausting. My social media is like a mess. I'm like, I'm just going to avoid it today.
Every year Facebook said at least since 2016, but I think I've been doing it for longer. On Facebook on April 1st, I post the same thing every year. It's a screen capture from an episode of The X-Files where at the end of the opening credits scene and it's like the last, like that mountain shot, and it says like, you know, the truth is out there, but they sometimes change it for certain episodes. Well, this one says trust no one. And so I put that up every year on April Fool's Day. Every year Facebook is like, hey, remember this? I'm like, thank you for reminding me. It's time to repost this. I trust no one on this day.
It's smart. That's yeah. Very smart.
Yeah. I used to work with a coworker who loved pranks and was very good at them. And that combined with a really they're in college, a couple of friends pulled an April Fool's Day prank that is not that nowadays as more mature adults, we realize, okay, this was not a good idea. But it was very convincing. And ever since then, I'm just like, I trust no one. I will not listen to anything anyone says. I just walk around all day with my fingers in my ears going, la, 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 la.
Yeah, I definitely felt that way today with Gwen, because we were gone and she accidentally bruised her little toe while we were gone. Everything was fine. And then we took her to the fenced in area, shall we say, because Dylan is in the room and he will jump up immediately if I say the word. And anyway, long story short, this morning it looked like she'd seriously hurt her paw. So we're looking up like emergency vets and like all this. And then later she just starts like putting weight on it. And I'm like, what are you doing? So apparently it's just bruised in summary.
Or that's her April Fool's Day prank.
Yes, that's what it felt like, 100%, because I'm like looking up these prices, they're astronomical. I'm like, what is happening? And she's fine for everyone concerned. She just bruised her little toe she just needs to go on paw rest. So, which is, have you ever tried to put a corgi on paw rest?
No, but I have tried to get an animal to not do something, and it never works.
It's like when you spay or neuter cats, and they're like, don't let them jump on high surfaces. And you're like, have you seen a cat?
Or in our example from when we've had our new cat, Jonesy, for just over 2 weeks now. And honestly, we started letting him out almost letting him out of his little office room a week in, like letting him out for long periods of time. And half of the reason was because he was so relentless at getting out. Like we'd open the door to like refill his food bowl or just, you know, come say hi, clean the litter box. He would be like, whoop, right out. And as soon as we opened the door, we're just like, we can't keep him in here. So we were like, well, they're going to have to meet at some point. So we're like, okay, let's just do this. And it was fine. They're peacefully coexisting now. But yeah, I'm like trying to keep that cat in that room was Like every time I'd hear my husband open the door, and then like 2 seconds later he could walk across the hallway. It's like, Jonesy, come back here. Oh,
bless their little hearts. Well, those are our gremlins on April 1st.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a quick side note, now that Jonesy is out 24/7, he and Deanie very much enjoy playing chase. So I don't know what noises are going to happen outside of this office. So we may hear some thumping and meowing and cats tearing under the couch and like flopping over and stuff. So we'll see. Maybe they'll be well behaved.
You know, I feel like people have a bingo like board of sounds like during our recordings, and that is definitely on there.
Yeah, pet noises.
So is squeak voice.
Oh, well, aside from little corgi paw issues, and I am glad that she's feeling better, even if she pulled an ill-timed prank. How is your reading been lately? Because mine has been so.
Well, I've been reading for all of the other projects, because the books I chose today I'd already read. So right now I'm reading like queer historical fiction.
Awesome.
No mysteries though. So. I mean, I have a never-ending stack of them because my TBR has grown exponentially over award season. So, here we are.
I've seen your TikToks. And
oh, my stars.
And you had one wall. Yeah, you had one with your TBR wall. And I was like, yeah, that's about what mine looks like. But it might be a little worse. So I'm thinking, I'm like, should I show my husband this and be like, hey, it could be worse.
I had to divide the library in this new place, and so the TBR is all in the sunroom, and the red books are here in this office, and there's just a lot. So they are double stacked bookshelves, and then I started stacking books in front of the bookshelves. So
I think you're worse than me, and I mean that in the best way possible, but I think your book collection outweighs mine, which makes sense. But yeah,
there are several. I've been definitely doing some outgoing on Pango. I don't know if people know about Pango, but it's where you can like sell your books and then buy secondhand books. And I love it because you can find copies of books without the book club sticker on them sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like you can find very specific editions. You have all the photos. And so I will link that down in the description as well. But it's a great way if you want to get rid of books like I am. So would recommend. Also, it's very addicting to go shopping there. But I digress. I would recommend if you are also in the boat of having a never-ending pile of books.
Well, you've just given me a fantastic segue. So speaking of TBRs.
Ooh, nice one.
I know. Ooh. Well, go ahead.
we want to tell you about TBR, which is Tailored Book Recommendations. It's a service from here at Book Riot. So what happens is that you fill out a little survey and you give that to your bibliologist, and then they choose books for you. So sometimes it can be very overwhelming figuring out what to choose. And, I used to be a bibliologist, and it was a lot of fun. I loved figuring out, and how it works is that the editor assigns bibliologists to people are looking for. So if you're looking for romances, you're getting assigned to someone who loves romances, et cetera. So that is really cool. And recently, they have introduced a paperback version. So you can order a series of hardbacks or paperbacks at different price points, or if you are outside of the U.S. Or inside the U.S., whatever your choice, you can request just the recommendations themselves, and then you can go to the library or your own bookshelves or whatever it is. So you have a lot of different price point options. I've given the digital subscription before as well. I'm a huge fan. And so plans at TBR start at just $18. There's also quarterly and annual plans. So you can visit mytbr.co to subscribe today. And that's mytbr.co.
All right. Well, before we jump in, let's go ahead and take a pause for our first sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Harper Horizon, publisher of Walk, Ride, Paddle. Walk, Ride, Paddle is a captivating memoir of Senator Tim Kaine's physical journey through the Virginia wilderness, but it is also a unique and ultimately optimistic perspective on these pivotal moments in history, offering inspiration, wisdom, and hope. With immediacy and honesty, Kaine pulls back the curtain to reveal his inner thoughts during such monumental times. And Kaine's storytelling gift and wise observations offer a fascinating glimpse into the mind of a seasoned politician and outdoor enthusiast. Walk, Ride, Paddle is available everywhere audiobooks are sold on April 9th. It is narrated and written by Tim Kaine, Virginia Senator and former Democratic vice presidential candidate. It's a compelling account of one man's journey across hundreds of miles of Virginia wilderness and a moving testament to the optimistic spirit of America. So make sure to check out Walk, Ride, Paddle by Tim Kaine. And thanks again to Harper Horizon, publisher of Walk, Ride, Paddle, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon Publishing. Let me ask you a question. How well do you think you know people? And how well do you think they know you? Six award-winning, best-selling authors of suspense explore the lingering threat of secrets and the inescapable fear that they can't stay buried forever. So no matter how dark the hiding place, the consequences of revealing the truth can bring out the worst in lovers, friends, family, and strangers. And check this out. You can read and listen to all six short stories in the Never Tell collection free with Prime. You can learn more at amazon.com/nevertell. And these best-selling authors include Liv Constantine, Laureth Ann White, Andrea Bartz, Rachel Housel Hall, Avi Pachota, and Carolyn Kepnes. Again, you can read and listen to all six short stories free with Prime and also Kindle Unlimited. So make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Amazon Publishing for sponsoring this episode. All right. So if you are new to the show, welcome. We are so delighted to have you. If you're a repeat listener, welcome back. We're delighted we haven't scared you away. And like we mentioned at the top of the show, we talk about mysteries and thrillers and suspense and true crime. And I mean, just about anything in that ginormous category. There's just so much to talk about. So if you've listened to the show before, you know this is always the point where we put out a call to our lovely listeners to let us know if you have any ideas of topics for us to cover in future episodes. And I have said this a million times before, but these really, really do help us. They help give us ideas when the creative well is just run dry and we're just like, we have no idea what we want to talk about for the next episode. It's a great way to know what you, the listeners, would like to hear more of. It's a great way for us to expand our own reading horizons. It's been a really, really great setup. And the topics that you can suggest are virtually endless. We could be talking about author read-alikes or exploring different subgenres or award news or true crime updates or movie adaptations. Like I said, if it's mysterious and suspenseful, it's fair game for us to talk about. So if you have any ideas or show suggestions, you can shoot us an email or reach out to us via social media. We will have all of our contact information at the end of the show and in the show notes. So don't worry about writing all the information down right now. We just put out the call ahead of time to get all the creative juices flowing while you listen. And even if you don't have an idea, but you just want to say hi, that is also fantastic. We love hearing from our listeners, regardless of whether or not you have a topic to suggest. And if you have not already done so, definitely head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review so that other people can find us. And for this episode, we do have a couple of news items that we wanted to touch on briefly. The first is that Netflix is planning to adapt Joe Nesbo's Harry Hole series. And this is exciting, A, because this is a really, really popular crime series. It's been I don't know how many books are actually in the series, but it has, you know, it's critically acclaimed, a long running series. And this is also notable because in 2017, someone tried to adapt The Snowman, and which I have read the book before. The book of The Snowman is fantastic. It's so good. It's dark. It's creepy. It's right up my alley. The movie, based on all of the memes and things that have popped up online, was not good. I think at this point I'm just stating objective fact. It was not good. Michael Fassbender played Harry Hole, and it is, yeah, it just was ridiculously not good. But anyway, with this adaptation, Joe Nesbo is actually going to be, he is going to be adapting the series for Netflix. So he's going to have control of the material. And yeah, I think there's a much, much better chance that the series will turn out well. I was going to say better than the movie. That is, again, that same sounds like a very low bar to clear, but yeah, so I am excited to see this. I love a good dark, gritty crime series. And this is also a little prod for me to, A, reread The Snowman, and B, read some of the other books in the series for the first time. Kendra, have you read any of the Harry Hole books?
I haven't. I keep hearing great things about it.
Yeah, and it's one of those series. Well, I will say The Snowman is kind of like right in the middle of the series. That's the only book that I've read, and I was able to follow it just fine. So it's, at least with that book, you don't have to have read the previous books to know what's going on. I'm not sure how the rest of the series plays out, or if it's more like that at the beginning, and then later on it gets more, you know, chronological where you need to read it. But if you have not yet tried any of the books in the series, this could be a good time to do so. There's no release date or anything like that, just the announcement that Netflix will be adapting these. And then in the under the category of sentences I never thought I would end up writing, 50 Cent is publishing a financial heist novel. It's coming out in the fall. It's September, October. I can't remember. It's called The Accomplice. Surprisingly, it is not written with James Patterson, although the cover very much looks like a book that James Patterson would have co-written with. It's billed as a cross between NBC's Prime Suspect and Netflix's Money Heist. It follows an FBI agent named Nia Robinson, and she's working within the robbery division. And she has her own reasons for joining the division. She wants to help clear her father's name, who was he was convicted of embezzlement, but she's pretty sure he didn't do it. So 50 Cent is publishing a thriller novel. And yeah, it's the front cover just in gigantic letters. It just says Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. So there is no mistaking who wrote this book. So I did not realize that 50 Cent had publishing aspirations, but there you go. This is going to be published this fall. Now I kind of want to start reeling off like musical artists who we want to put out thriller novels. Like Dolly Parton's already done it.
Yeah.
We've got 50 Cent now. I'd like to see Lady Gaga. Just throwing that
Wendy
out.
Wendy Carlisle.
Oh, that would be cool.
I think that would be pretty cool. Yeah.
That would be really cool. All right. I'm going to sit here and ponder that.
I guess my news item.
There you go.
is next. So as we all know, I'm a sucker for awards, per usual. And so the International Thriller Writers Association has announced their, are they long lists or short lists?
I think it just said finalists.
Finalists. Okay, finalists.
We'll say short list. So
it's six people per category. Mm-hmm. So I guess that'd sort of be a short list. Anyway, so, but they have a bunch of different categories like best hardcover novel, best audiobook, best first novel, best paperback original, best short story, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the highlights for me are, of course, S.A. Cosby is in All the Sinners Bleed is on hardcover. I also love to see there was Scorched Grace. Is that right? That's the first one? The
yes.
Dwahi?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was on there as well. So there's just a lot of great things. And I love that they have an audiobook version, like a category, which makes me very happy. I don't actually think I've listened to any of them, so I will have to check that out. But I know some of the narrators of them, and they're fantastic. Like January Lavoie, Scott Brick, they do a great job.
You know, I would be interested to know how they picked best hardcover, the titles for best novel or best hardcover novel and best audiobook, because you and I have both listened to All the Sinners Bleed, and quite frankly, I mean, the audiobook is amazing. These are completely separate categories. I'm really interested to know how they decided, like, which nominees they were going to do for, like, best hardcover versus the audiobook nominees.
That is a good question. I don't know. I'm just assuming that when the books were submitted, that you weren't allowed any repeats, and that the publisher kind of chose. But that, I don't have any. I have no idea how logistics work on that. But I imagine they'd have to go something along those lines.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, because I'm thinking of the Oscars, where the different production companies or whatever campaign for the different. Or they'll put forth their nominations for an actor for this category instead of this one or whatever. That makes a lot of sense. Did it say when? Let me see.
The winners are going to be announced on June 1st.
Thank you.
So I gotcha. And so we will cover that again, I'm sure, when the time rolls around. But that's going to be announced in New York City.
All righty. Sounds good. Well, with continuing the April Fool's Day mention from the beginning of the show, we did decide to do a little thematic tie-in for this episode, even though you won't be listening to it on April Fool's Day. We are, in fact, recording it on April Fool's Day. But we picked humorous mysteries, which I know we've done before over the multiple years that this show has been airing. But I have my own sense of humor, and I'm like, well, yeah, Kate. I'm sorry, the caffeine from earlier today is wearing off. But I'm trying to think, I'm not going to name names, but I'm trying to think if I've picked up a book that was billed as being humorous, and I read it and been like, yeah, that wasn't funny. But yeah, it's interesting how, it's both, you can generally point to, I think, a book that is okay, this is a humorous mystery or whatever, but it may not land with every reader.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, writing humor books of any kind, or even writing a book that also happens to be funny, is really difficult. It is definitely an art form. And I cannot imagine how difficult that is. I'm not funny. My writing is not funny. I don't even know how anyone does it. So I have nothing but admiration for folks who can do that.
Well, I was going to say, I'll go ahead and hand it over to you, but I know that you went kind of with books for younger readers, and I'm wondering, I was going to say, I think you're much more likely to find humor in those in books geared towards those audiences. I also think it's probably easier to write humorous material for kids, because I think kids just find a lot of different things funny. But
yeah, and you know, I want to give young adult and middle grade their nods here. And my favorite funny books are typically for young people. I don't know why that is, but so I picked a couple favorites. So I've talked about Ghost Squad before by Clarabel A. Ortega, but there's a lot of different facets, I think, which is theme I highlight about the book. And so that is my first pick. So this time I want to focus on how funny the book is, because it does deal with a lot of serious topics, right? So you have this girl who is her family. We were in this house that her family has there, right? So Lucelli is with her dad. They do tours around St. Augustine, like these ghost tours, right? But at her home, she actually can see ghosts. She can see her ancestors in the house. And so when those ancestors start disappearing, the big mystery of the book is, why are her ancestors disappearing? And so I wouldn't say like this is a deathless mystery, but it's more like why already existing people who have died are disappearing, which is funny on its own. But there is this most amazing cat. He is his name is Chunk, and he's on the cover. And he's a little more – he's not just a cat. There's something going on. He's very sentient. He's very aware of things. But he is so funny. This cat is so disgruntled, and I don't know what it is about cats and, you know, girls going on adventures, but it's amazing. And one of the things I love is that Lucelli and her best friend Sid, they have this great relationship. Sid is hilarious, just like, I mean, when you have like these really serious moments or people who have died, they died young, you don't know why, there's a malevolent spirit situation in the book. And to balance that out, Clarabel A. Ortega does this phenomenal job with humor. And there are other books, I've read several of this author's books, and they're all filled with this kind of humor. And I just think it really sings. It's really well done. And this is a book that I recommend all the time, because it's a little creepy, but on a perfectly age-appropriate level with age-appropriate humor. And it is just, it's just so cute.
As soon as you mentioned the cat and then said Chunk, I'm like, oh yes, I remember you talking about these books, because once again, I just remember sitting here and just making like little wiggles in my chair, little silent wiggles. I'm like, oh, his name's Chunk.
It's so cute.
Yeah. So, and then cute. Once again, I was just like, okay, need to add this to the list. Put that on my Goodreads and then my little note section and be like, it's like cat named Chunk.
Absolutely. So if you ever get around to reading this book, you definitely have to let me know. We have to chat about it. again, we just talked about our never ending TBRs, but nevertheless. I have to recommend Ghost Squad by Clarabel A. Ortega. It is just so much fun.
All right. Well, before I jump into my first pick, let's go ahead and take a quick pause from our second sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by W.W. Norton & Company Incorporated. So, Negative Space by Jillian Linden follows a week in the life of an English teacher at a New York private school. At home, her children ask constant questions about mortality, and her husband offers occasional counsel between Zoom calls. At school, something happens. She accidentally witnesses an ambiguous, possibly inappropriate interaction between a teacher and a student, but how can she be sure of what she saw? Negative Space is a portrait of a woman caught between the pressures of what's normal and what isn't, and examines what we owe the people who depend on us in a fractured and indifferent world. It's a debut novel and a short novel. It's perfect if you want something quick and easy to carry around, but it's also thought-provoking. It takes place during the pandemic, but it's not pandemic-focused, and it really just looks at everyday anxieties in low-threat situations that have high consequences. So make sure to check out Negative Space by Jillian Linden, and thanks again to WW Norton and Company Incorporated for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publisher of the smash hit Fourth Wing. You'll only cross these blades once in a page-turning new tale of revenge strategy and so many lies. Best-selling Red Tower Books is releasing its next irresistible read that will capture your imagination and keep you guessing until the end. Mae Corlin's Five Broken Blades tells an intricate high-stakes tale of five total strangers united in a plot that will test their strength, wits, and courage. Each has their reasons, all have secrets. But while it's easy to betray a stranger, it's not so simple to stab a friend or a lover, okay, in the back. Now these five blades must choose between vengeance and one another. Pick up Five Broken Blades by Mae Corlin for a thrilling, adventurous tale filled with risk, romance, adventure, and oh, so many lies. The relationships in it are complex and nuanced and involve everything from friends to enemies, found and biological family and lovers and more. Thanks again to Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publishers of the smash hit Fourth Wing, for sponsoring this episode.
All right, so my first pick is Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone by Benjamin Stevenson. And this book came out just over a year ago. And it was kind of floating around on my radar. It's just like a book to be aware of. It was buzzy when it came out. It sounded intriguing. And then when I was looking up, like, okay, what, you know, humorous mysteries that have come out recently, this came up and I was like, oh, okay, so I'll give this a shot. It's really good. The audio is really well done. This is a great pick if you are a fan of, we've gotten emails before from listeners who are really interested in books that have that feel of a classic mystery. This one, I was describing this book to my husband as Agatha Christie meets Ferris Bueller. And the reason why is this is the author, it breaks the fourth wall so much in this book. It is very much like Ferris Bueller, like every time he looks to the camera and starts talking to the audience. So the author does that a ton in this book. And Agatha Christie, because the beginning of the book, he talks about like the established like 10 rules for mystery writing that came out in the like 1930s. And I think these rules were a real thing, or at least something similar was published about like the author has to, about wait, how the author has to play fair. Like they can't introduce the supernatural. You can't introduce the killer in the last two pages. You like it completely does away with, you know, you can't have like an unreliable narrator, you know, the reader has to know everything that the narrator is saying. And so throughout this story, the quote unquote author of the book is like jumping in to say, to explain like, okay, you may be thinking this and that I've broken one of the rules, but this is, you know, this is actually why that's not the case. And it's just, it's dry. It's sarcastic. The author actually, I was reading his author bio online, and he has performed as a stand-up comedian before. So I'm like, well, there you go. Like, obviously, you know, the book is going to be funny, and it's going to be, it's probably more likely to stick because you have someone who understands humor writing it. But yeah, it's in addition to all of the meta-ness of the book and like kind of looking at the structure of what makes a like a golden age mystery so compelling. The mystery at the heart of this story is really, really interesting. Basically, there's the narrator, his name is Ernest, and he has been invited by his aunt to this family reunion at a ski resort. And he's going to be, it's going to be everyone in the family, including his brother, Michael, who has been in prison for the last 3 years because Ernest testified against him at trial to say that he murdered someone. And I think the less you know about the mystery, obviously, the better. It is an involved plot with lots of moving pieces, but it never feels contrived. And like, I really liked how at the end of the book, like, there's no way I am not the kind of reader that can read or listen to a book like this and be able to like put together the clues before the detective does. Like, it's just not going to happen. But at the end of the book, you know, he's kind of putting together how everything falls into place. And I'm like, oh yeah, like it all makes sense. It's a really satisfying, you know, mystery. And yeah, it was really enjoyable. It was, like I said, kind of a dry, sarcastic sense of humor mixed in with the author asides, which when it's well done, I think is hysterical. And yeah, I just really, really enjoyed the heck out of this book. And yeah, if you are a listener who is looking for a book with that harkens back either directly or indirectly to like that golden age of mysteries, this is a great one to pick up. Yeah, have you listened to this one, Kendra? And I'm also specifically asking because it was so good on audio. I was wondering if it had crossed your radar.
I haven't, but I do love mysteries that just make sense. I get really frustrated when like some random, you know, twist happens that doesn't make sense. That's frustrating to me. So I feel like this would definitely be up my alley for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a mystery. Yeah, the author, I think they play fair. I think they do a really good job of playing fair, like they say at the beginning of the book. Yeah, and again, that is Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone by Benjamin Stevenson.
Well, I guess it's time for my second pick, and that is The Screaming Staircase by Jonathan Stroud. I cannot describe to you how much I love this series. So this, and on the surface, this looks like a horror series. It's about an alternate like universe where these specters have suddenly appeared, but only kids can see them. So now after a bunch of people died, essentially, there are now these like ghost, almost, I guess, ghost squads. That's not what they're called, but of these different teams of people who go around and kids who can find these spiritual entities of different kinds and remove them from different buildings. And sometimes like the powers manifest where these kids can hear ghosts or see ghosts or feel ghosts or whatever it is, right? So they're trying to find these kids with the talent to be able to do it. So we start with Lucy. Lucy has left her like little squad and she has left for unknown reasons. And so in The Screaming Staircase, we're following her past and then also the present where she joins Anthony Lockwood's team. Now, normally there is an adult because adults cannot see ghosts. So like there's this threshold when, you know, as you get older, you lose your power, but there is usually an adult around, but not in Anthony Lockwood's case. His parents are missing for some reason and he started his own, basically his own agency, to be able to round up ghosts. But one of the things I wanted to pick this is because it's also, these are also mystery books because they're trying to find the source. So for example, in The Screaming Staircase, there's this very haunted staircase and you have to find the source of the spirit who's causing, you know, and killing people essentially. They're trying to solve this like cold case mystery, as it were. So it has a beautiful balance of horror with all the ghosts and stuff, but also there's a mystery every book. And then, of course, some overarching mysteries throughout the whole series. It's a 5-book series, would recommend. It's funny. It's so funny. Jonathan Stroud is one of the funniest middle grade / young YA authors I have ever read. There's just something about the dialogue, the way that he describes terrible things that makes you laugh. Like, people die in horrific ways in this book that is age appropriately described, but still gory. And it's so funny. Like the way that these teenagers are fighting over who's going to round up these ghosts. And like, there's, of course, there's only one other guy in the agency with Anthony Lockwood. Like, and he does the research, and he does a lot of like the tech stuff and all the cool like shavings they do to like do their little salt circles and all the sort of stuff they do to round up the ghosts. He's the one who is really knowledgeable about all of that tech. It's phenomenal. It's so funny. I will read anything Jonathan Stroud writes because it's so funny. And this is like adventure into the horror side of things. He's done a lot with fantasy previously. But I love the mystery. The mystery is great in each book. I was never disappointed. So would definitely recommend the whole series. Have you read the series? Started at all?
No, I feel like I remember you talking about the author before. And this is so, or like this is not the point of it, but when you're talking about the screaming staircase, I think about how after he eats dinner, my cat Deanie goes downstairs into the entryway and then just hollers at our coat rack for like minutes on end. Like, this is part of his dinner routine. He eats, he goes downstairs, and he yells at the coats. Like, I'm like, that is the screaming staircase in my house.
Well, that would be terrifying if you didn't know what it was.
I was going to say, it's not a mystery. He just sits at the bottom of the stairs and just hollers at the coat. So I'm like, no mystery there. But that was the first thing I thought of when I thought of screaming staircase.
Well, the humor vibes are similar in this one. That is for sure. There's a lot of delightful silliness. And and again, I think the mysteries in these books are really often undersold when people describe them because they focus on how creepy the books are and whatever. But they have a great mystery, very funny. Always Jonathan Stroud's always funny. Like, the Barred Maze trilogy is just so funny. I love that. And that came out when I was 13. Oh my stars, I'm so old. Anyway, so that is A Screaming Staircase by Jonathan Stroud, and I would recommend the whole Lockwood & Co. series. It was out on Netflix. They did Netflix of the first book, a series of the first book, but then they canceled it, and I was so sad because it was actually really good. So you can go check that out if you would like to.
All right. So my second pick, unfortunately, I have to say I did not get a chance to even pick up the book. I kept forgetting to check it out from work, and the digital and audio versions were not available for me to check out either. They were all in use. But I am confident in my assessment that this is a fitting book for this topic, and that is Vera Wang's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers by Jesse Q. Sutanto. And most readers or avid listeners of the podcast will recognize Jesse Q. Sutanto's name from Dial A for Aunties, or Aunties, but my Midwestern accent's coming through, Aunties. But that really, that book came out just a few years ago and really put her on the map for humorous, cozy mysteries. And so this book, even though it's not part of that series, seems to be very much in the same mold. I went through a few of the Goodreads reviews, and people were saying that, if you are someone who has read a number of mysteries featuring an older female protagonist, they're publishing a lot more of these types of stories. But if you just felt like something was missing, or they just weren't, you know, they just weren't really doing it for you, this book really kind of hits the mark. So in this story, Vera Wang is a self-proclaimed tea expert. She owns a tea shop, And she already at the start of the book does what she calls healthy detective work on the internet, which is checking up on her son to see if he's dating anyone yet. But then one day she wakes up and there is a dead man in the middle of her tea shop. And she knows that she does not trust the police to do a sufficient job in terms of solving this murder. The description on Goodreads says, because nobody sniffs out a wrongdoing quite like a suspicious Chinese mother with time on her hands. So she decides that she's going to figure out who killed this person. And this book, there's, as is the case with many of these, I think many of these types of mysteries, but also humorous mysteries, you have a large cast of characters. And so she's kind of like looking at all of the different characters who come into her tea shop, because she's like, well, the killer always returns to the scene of the crime. So she's like investigating everyone who comes into the shop as a potential suspect. But she ends up developing relationships with a lot of these people. And the way that these relationships play out is really, really satisfying. Someone described this, it's like part cozy mystery, but also part dramedy, where the characters and the relationships are just as important as the whodunit. I have also read reviews that said, like, if you're someone who really likes descriptions of food in mysteries, or if you're a tea lover, they're like, this book is going, you're just going to be just totally blown away. And it's going to make you crave like every cup of tea in the world. So yeah. I, like I said, this hasn't been a good week in terms of being able to read more than one new book. And also in terms of, having access to the book that I had planned to read. So like I said, I can't give my opinion, personal opinion of the book, but I definitely, based on, like I said, based on everything, based on the author, her previous books, and the reviews for this one, I am fully prepared to suggest this one if you are looking for a good humorous mystery. Now, I was going to say, I know that Jesse Q. Sutanto is a Book Riot favorite author. Have you, Kendra, read either this one or any of her previous cozy mysteries?
I haven't, but I have checked out several of her books with the intent to read them. They got that far.
which is almost as good.
Right? It shows it's a little farther than just TBR, because you're like, oh, I checked this out. But then Hoopla returns, and but she's definitely on my list. This is definitely the top of hers on my list as well. I've heard nothing but incredible things about this one.
All right, so one of you listeners has to do what we were not able to do and read this book. So again, that is Vera Wang's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers by Jesse Q. Sutanto.
Well, those are our four picks, and now it's time for new books. We're heading into like full-on spring season, leaning into the early summer releases. So it's going to be an exciting time in the next few weeks. But yeah, you know, I know it's coming on summer, but I had to pick another like cold weather pick to go with our previous theme of Detective Night Country. So my pick, then I'll just jump into it. So my pick is Cold to the Touch by Kari Hakuto. And this is, it's described as American Predator meets Harlan Coben. In this, it says ticking clock thriller in which women are being kidnapped and murdered in the dead of an Alaskan winter. And I'm not going to lie. I did not have to read much farther than that because I was like, this is the vibe. We want that cold weather type story. So this one is a body of a barista is found. And so then we have a homicide detective who is recognized the woman. And so he knows her because he bought coffee from her, and that really starts the whole process. So if you're looking for even more books for the theme of cold weather thrillers and mysteries, this seems to be a top one for your list.
All right. And then before I jump into my official new releases pick, when I saw that Kendra had picked that book for her new releases, when I was looking at the list of upcoming books on Book Riot Insiders, there is another Alaskan mystery novel coming out the same week. And I was like, okay, I've got to throw in an honorable mention here. And so my honorable mention is The Gathering by CJ Tudor, which is an Alaska-based thriller, but with vampires. And CJ Tudor definitely crosses the line into horror and psychological suspense. So if you are looking for, you know, for something that does cross that line, or if you're looking for something with more of a horror bent or a monster bent, but are really digging the Alaskan mysteries as we have been recently, The Gathering by CJ Tudor, out April 9th. And so for my actual new releases pick, I chose A Better World by Sarah Langan. And the reason why this caught my attention is because her last novel, Good Neighbors, was the talk of Book Riot, and Liberty Hardy in particular just talked so much about how much she loved this book. And that really prompted me to add it to my TBR. Have I read it yet? No, I'm so sorry, Liberty. But the premise of it really intrigued me. And this one has... the premise seems, if it's not the same, but it feels kind of similar. If you're looking for kind of like a satirical, domestic, suburban thriller that really crosses lines and into just like, you know, really uncomfortable, nasty type of stories. And I'm like, yes. You have the Farmer Bowens family who have moved into this company town called Plymouth Valley. And it seems like it's too good to be true. And that's because it is. The company offers to hire Linda Farmer's husband and relocate her to this, what they call a bucolic paradise. And the whole family jumps at the opportunity. They'd be crazy not to take it. And so they move into this very, very, like, literally walled off sheltered town. But the locals very much are distrustful of outsiders. They do nothing to welcome the family in. The residents fervently adhere to a group of customs and beliefs called Hollow. But what exactly is Hollow? It's like, insert narrator's voice. Nothing good. and so, yeah, as the book goes on, things get worse and weirder and creepier. And so the family, should they be fighting to stay or should they be fighting to get out? Yeah, domestic suburban thrillers are just ripe for absolute weirdness. Like, you know, the most privileged, normal seeming people can cover, that can just be a facade for the most, you know, twisted, dark underbelly, which is, I'm just all about that. And if you are, if you subscribe to Book Riot Insiders and have access to the new release index, when you click on this book, it gives you like this full long review courtesy of Liberty, where she talks about how much she loves this book specifically. So that just kind of sealed it for me. I was like, okay, this one, I'm gonna add this one to my list. And so again, that is A Better World by Sarah Langan, and that is out on April 9th.
That sounds fantastic. I mean, Liberty says to read it, you read it. That's that's all I need to know.
Liberty says read, you say how much.
She says all of it, and I'm like, okay, let's do it. okay, so that is our show for today. Oh my goodness, we did it.
We did it.
All those books. So thanks to everyone for listening, as always. And of course, a huge thank you to our sound editor, Caitlin Brahm, who always makes us sound wonderful. And for show notes, you can head over to bookriot.com/listen. And for more book recommendations and bookish goodness, head over to bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. Or a faster way is you can just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice and see them all pop up there. It is wonderful. And of course, you can send us an email with feedback or show suggestions. And you can do that by reaching us at redordead@bookriot.com. Otherwise, you can find me, Kendra, on Twitter/X and Instagram at KD Winchester. And on TikTok now at Kendra Winchester. You can see the giant TBR wall. And you could find Katie on Twitter at KT_library lady. And we'll talk to y'all next time.
Bye.